Let's talk smoke. I love it, man. Spill Left, it's Wendy Snyder, and Dane Neal is with us. You can hear him on Saturday afternoons on this very radio station from 2 to 4. Right?
That's correct.
I never know when I'm out and about, but that's what I'm listening to when you're on the air.
Nice. Well, glad to have you.
Dane, it's hard. You'd be hard-pressed to find anybody that if you bring up the topic of barbecue, they go, yeah, you know what? It's not for me. Everybody loves it, and it isn't
even one of those polarizing things where, you know, some people have got a passionate fan base and other people like, well, like you said, it's not for me. I think everybody kind of universally loves barbecue, right? And the people that
It's the cavemen in us.
That's what it is. I think
and
that
women,
is what it is.
Cave women.
Yeah, some kind of like primal association with the whole charred meat thing, right?
Yeah.
And the meat situation. And we are lucky to have kind of a Mount Rushmore, at least of local participants in the barbecue world. And I've always said it that, you know, you've got your business card out there, you know, some of the coolest things you can have on it, you know, like a race car driver, you could have fighter pilot, you know, and barbecue pitmaster. I mean, those are the kind of things that people are like, wow, that's really cool. Studio, I have one of the nation's best, and certainly we're blessed to have him here in Chicago. Smoke Barbecue has been acclaimed in every deserved way, and Barry Sorkin is here, and we're happy to have him in studio. Barry, welcome to
WGN. Hi, Barry.
WGN.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us the backstory behind Smoke. What was going on when you decided this was the move?
Well, yeah, it was about 11 years ago now. I was working for an IT consulting company in a corporate job. I have actually a degree in journalism, and through a bizarre series of events that led to a career in the IT consulting world. And after about 8 years of that, I probably complained about it for 7 of those years. It was sort of it's time to do something else, and I had been.
So you set your computer on flat fire and realized you love to grill open flame.
Well, yeah, I mean, I had been a backyard cook for a long time, and I had done some traveling, and I'd been to, you know, Austin, Texas, and Kansas City, and Memphis, and some of these incredible barbecue cities. And I thought, you know, why on earth does Chicago not have this? I mean, certainly there was some Chicago barbecue and a version of barbecue here in Chicago, but it wasn't like what I had experienced when I went to these other cities. And so, you know, to me, I thought barbecue fits right into the standard Chicago palate. Yep. I mean, you got the beef sandwiches, the sausage sandwiches, the wings, and barbecue is part of that same spectrum. And I thought, this has got to work here.
No restaurant experience, though. Right?
Like a lot of people, I had done some table waiting while I was
worked
in college.
At Hardee's or something.
Yeah, yeah. I'd done worked in a number of restaurants, but never as, you know, an operator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So very limited.
And was it, because that is, I mean, the actual experience in your career path up to that point did not, and Chris, you can get out there and experience things and enjoy things. I think we all do that, but we all don't necessarily think, you know, let's turn this into a business and do it. Was there like an exact moment where you were bit by like a radioactive spider or something?
A pig, it would be.
a lightning bolt or something where not only did you decide to do something to get in there and do it, but also do it in such a way that's been so well received?
Well, I mean, the second part of that, there was a lot of dumb luck involved, honestly. But I can't point to a spider bite moment necessarily, other than to say that, you know, it was like a lot of things were sort of coming to a head. You know, I was getting increasingly unhappy in my current career. Yeah. I was getting older and more acutely aware of, you know, my life timeline.
Your days are numbered.
Yeah.
Once
so,
you hit that point.
Barbecue mortality.
And, you know, I'd also thought I had gotten pretty good at my backyard cooking that I was doing. So it was like, you know, the things all started to make sense. And I think it was just a matter at that point of mustering the courage to suggest it to my wife.
How did that go over? Was that, because that's the make it or break it moment.
Right.
Isn't it? So what'd she say?
Well, there was a very long pause.
Yeah.
You know, when I put that out there, but
you go into all the superficial kind of association with money, success, and an actual house payment and all that kind of stuff? You're like, well, we don't need the trappings of, you know, of society, right? Is that what you started with?
Well, no, it's a little harder to make that case. We had just had our first kid, and so like life's responsibilities were kind of bearing down on us, and so it was not an easy time to make the decision. And she was, you know, already thinking about kid number two and unbeknownst to me, kid number three. but she was incredibly supportive. She said, I know you're unhappy. I know you don't like what you're doing. You know, just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
And she may not have used quite such polite language.
right.
Yeah. I just want to ask how you came up with the beautiful way of spelling smoke. Instead of S-M-O-K-E, you put the Q-U-E. It's just cool.
We thought we were very clever. It actually confuses a lot of people. But actually, it was one of my partner's wives came up with the spelling.
It's just cool.
It's reminiscent of Cirque du Soleil. When I look at the name Smoke, S-M-O-Q-U-E, I think Cirque du Soleil. So it's a bend on something we're familiar with. As you're traveling around, I'm sure you know this, the different parts of the country that specialize in barbecue do it slightly different from place to place. So did you take elements of all those, or how did you decide?
Yeah, that was kind of our idea. It was that, Chicago certainly has its barbecue traditions, but one of the nice things about being in a city that doesn't have incredibly, deeply rooted barbecue traditions is that you have a little bit more freedom. If you go to Austin, Texas, barbecue is a certain thing and that certain thing only, and people around there are very, unreceptive to any variation on that.
Right.
Whereas in Chicago, people just like to eat really good food, and mm-hmm. they aren't, maybe interested in where its history is, but it doesn't make or break it for them. And so there was a lot of flexibility to take these influences from around the country and try to bring them together in one place.
Is that where you got the Texas sausage? And what is Texas sausage I see on your website?
There's actually a couple different versions of Texas. If you travel through Texas, most of the sausage that you'll see down there is beef. Ours is not. The sort of center of the Texas sausage world is in Elgin, which is about maybe 30, 45 minutes outside of Austin. And there's a couple places in there that are very well established and well known for their sausage. When we found ours, I was actually traveling through Texas to try to find one that I thought would work, in our environment and the kind of thing that our customers would like. And I found this place called McKeska's kind of by accident, and I wandered in there. And at the time, they had a restaurant in Taylor, Texas. The restaurant's now gone, but they're still very much in the meat business. Their family is still in the barbecue business down there. Anyway, I tried this sausage, and I thought, this is the one. This is the one I want. And so I asked for the owner, and he came out and talked to me, and I said, hey, listen, I got this barbecue place in Chicago. I'd love to have your sausage on our menu. Is there any way you can get it to me? And he looked at me for a second. He said, you got an airport? I said, yeah, we got that. He said, well, we got one too. I can get it to you. And nice. So for about the first 6 or 7 months that we carried it, that's what we were doing. He was shipping it once a week down to Midway Airport on like a Southwest Airlines, freight flight or cargo flight. And, we would get there at 1 o'clock in the morning, pick up 12 cases of sausage and bring it back.
Is it spicy? I have never had a Texas sausage.
A lot of Texas sausage is traditional, like some of the more traditional stuff down there. They'll call them hot guts, how they refer to them.
That's appealing.
Pretty.
Yeah. Well, in Texas it is.
Right.
That's a term of endearment there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. It's great. It's great stuff. The one that we use is a little less spicy. Kind of, modified a little bit for the Chicago palate.
Yeah, we're wimps
here. But it's got a little bit of heat to it.
Yeah, I was always wondering about the trajectory of it. So the wife had said, okay, let's do this. And you've got the impending kind of pressure of kid and then unbeknownst kid, that was coming up. And it seems like it kind of started working right away. You knew that the stuff that you were doing in the backyard was good. You had tested things that were successful around the country. You knew that it was kind of a blank slate here for creativity. Did it take off right away? I know that Guy featured you on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and I know that things kind of expanded from there. But was it successful right away? Because I feel like as soon as you were doing this, I heard about it, people's heads kind of exploded. It was really great.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, outwardly, it was successful right away. I mean, by all outward appearances, we had blinds out the door and surpassing all of our wildest dreams about the number of people we would be serving. On the inside, of course, we were still figuring out how to run a restaurant. And so a lot of things internally and financially weren't working for us right away. But we had every lucky break and advantage that a restaurant could possibly
get. That's outstanding. That's great. More of this discussion next. Dane Neal is here. Barry Sorkin from Smoke Barbecue, located at 3800 North Pulaski. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
The Mets invade Wrigley for a late-season showdown. Time to show them who's boss in the second city. Right here in Chi-Town. Cubs-Mets, every game counts tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
Dane Neal is here. He comes by every other Wednesday, and he has brought with him Barry Sorkin from Smoke Barbecue, located at 3800 North Pulaski. Barry, I'm just curious, when you hit the success you hit right off the bat, a lot of people would say, wow, this is meeting expectations and then some. I got to open up a dozen more, 15 more right now. You didn't do that, though.
We didn't. I think we were very aware that you know, the first thing we needed to do is learn how to operate the one that we had, because like I said, you know, while it was going well by all outward appearances, we were woefully underprepared for like the onslaught that we got. Yeah.
What was the biggest surprise during that period? Why were you unprepared? What was happening?
We just didn't, I mean, you know, we tended to be pretty conservative in our projections. You know, when you're going to a bank for a loan, they don't want to see that you're this sort of pie in the sky.
Right.
You
know, I'm going to change the world.
Yeah. Right. And so, and I think we tend to be pretty cautious and conservative. So we were using very conservative numbers, and we sort of built our operation, you know, based on those conservative numbers. And like, you know, our first year we were doing like five times, you know, what our projections were.
Amazing.
So, yeah. So we had a lot of work to do to kind of get out from behind that eight ball.
Yeah.
So we were focusing on that.
One of the things that's going on now, and as Barry kind of got into the barbecue world, into the business world, he also entered into another kind of fraternity of the barbecue community. And we talked about it in the green room, and we talked about it over the years too, is that the barbecue community and the people who do that kind of have this connection that is a little bit different. Certainly fans of barbecue have a connection. They're passionate about it. They want to share what their favorite places are. But the people who are making it have that same connection too. There isn't, you know, a lot of people make hamburgers. There's not a hamburger community, you know, and when there's when there's things coming up, people don't necessarily mobilize to support things. A couple guys that has now, you know, turned into volunteers, and 500 volunteers that were down in Texas called Operation Barbecue Relief. I got to know them a few years ago. They started in 2011 after the Joplin tornadoes that happened down there. And what they did is they kind of put the bat signal out to the barbecue community, and they brought out a lot of those members to come make meals for people who had been displaced, part of disasters, hurricanes, tornadoes, that kind of stuff, and supported them through giving away meals, you know, kind of like, you know, you hear about the Red Cross is going to give meals or some of these other organizations doing good work. But specifically, these are restaurateurs that are doing it. And there's
a bonus.
Yeah. And there's something unique about it. Number one, just that this collective group exists and can be mobilized and organized to do that and do things for good. But there's something unique about barbecue in and of itself that is, you know, I feel like uniquely uplifting. It's not just food because you're hungry, right? It's food that's associated with, you know, community, togetherness, maybe celebration, you know, even in times that are tough. And on Sunday, I talked with Famous Dave, a good mutual friend of all of ours, and he talked about some of the things that they were doing. Now, 350, I think maybe 375,000 meals that they had given down in Texas already.
Wow.
500 volunteers, you know, barbecue places and pitmasters from around the country. Barry, I know that you've worked with them up here in the Midwest and supported them through the Alliance as well.
Yeah, I'm part of an organization called the Illinois Barbecue Alliance, and we've been supporters of Operation Barbecue Relief since from the beginning. We've, you know, first with just financial support, and we've actually gone on a couple of deployments with them. And I don't want to even begin to pretend to take any credit for what they do, because what they do is incredible. And they're just, as you said, great people, and they just want to help.
Barry, you mentioned deployments. I was talking with one of their main guys on the way in to kind of get some of the statistics on the scope of what's going on in Texas. And the government has even recognized it. And they're delivering barbecue on like Chinook helicopters and in some of these other Apache helicopters they mentioned. So they're like either the armed forces, FEMA, and those people are recognizing kind of just the importance and I think the benefit of barbecue, as crazy as it sounds, right, of barbecue and bringing it out there. So it's great stuff that they're doing. I'm going to do an interview with them a little bit later, but it's Operation BBQRelief.org, and you can go to their website and see kind of the places that they're doing, because right now they're gearing up to support in Florida when the people that have evacuated, you know, go back.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, really think about it. People at shelters and people who go back to their home and all their food is spoiled. It's great to get some sustenance, you know, a little packaged lunch, but to have barbecue come, that makes
all the
difference.
And not just barbecue. Guys like Barry from Smoke, you know, or guys like Salt Lick, you know, from Texas, or, you know, Myron
the real
Mixon,
deal.
Like some of the best in the country. I mean, and you see, we've got a really, you know, open, giving, supportive chef community that does so many things for great events, but you can't always just, you know, pop up, a charity benefit, you know, that usually happens in a hotel, where barbecue has that kind of unique mobility as well, right? You can just pull up with a trailer and make it happen.
It doesn't require the same kind of infrastructure. You know, you got in these communities that have been hit by these major storms, you don't have gas service, you don't have water service,
right,
but you can still fire up a barbecue pit.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else we're missing over at Smoke? Is there anything else coming up, Barry, we should be aware of?
Yeah, a couple fun things coming up at our Revival Food Hall location. You know, Monday Night Football is starting, so they're going to start a rotating feature in their bar. I mean, the food hall normally closes at 7 p.m., but Monday Night Football is Monday Night Football. You got to stay open there. So they're going to put up a big screen TV in the bar area, and they're going to get the different vendors to rotate, you know, preparing some version of football food in the bar for people that are staying and watching the game. So we're doing the first one. It's coming Monday. We're not quite sure what we're going to prepare yet, but it'll be something special and football appropriate. But they're going to do it throughout the season.
Excellent.
And kind of a collaboration with a brewery, too, right?
Yeah, not a brewery. We're doing a collaboration with the Fat Shallot. They're a food truck. They also have a location in the Revival Food Hall. We're going to do a little sort of tribute to the old beefsteak events of the 1910s and 1920s.
We remember those.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
These are a tradition. I don't know that much about them, but they were apparently these gatherings at men's clubs where people would get together and just eat steak with their hands and drink beer, and they were kind of raucous events. And so we're going to try to maybe modernize it a little bit.
No silverware that night.
Right. This is when life expectancy was 30.
Right.
And if you lived at 31, people are like, well, how did he do that?
Right.
Wow. All right. So if people want more information on any of this, Barry, what's their best bet?
There's going to be something up on the Revival Food Hall website, I believe, and on the Fat Shallot's website and ours. For now, tickets actually just went on sale at revivalbeefsteak.roundpapertickets.com.
You made that?
That's a mouthful, but there'll be a link on our website.
Oh, excellent.
And that website is?
SmokeBBQ.com. It's SmokeBBQ.com.
Excellent. Great to see you. Thanks so much
for
coming in.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Dane, as always, we appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Who was right? We'll take a quick break and then some news. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.